Well, as I mentioned, this weekend is the beginning of our summer sermon series called Summer of Psalms. And yes, me and Pastor Matt thought we were super clever by putting a P at the beginning of summer to make it match Psalms. So please laugh at that and make sure to give Matt credit. He thought he was really clever for that. We're going to spend the next 12 weeks just dipping our toe into this incredible book. And I want to first give you a broad and brief overview of the book of Psalms, and then an idea of what we're going to be doing for the next 12 weeks, okay? So, Psalms is a collection of a whole bunch of writings by various authors. Some dating all the way back to Moses. Moses wrote some, wrote at least one of them. And then other authors around the time of King Solomon, King David. So there's about a several hundred years gap between some of these authors. There's 150 of them, all addressing different themes and cries out to God. And if you were to open your Bible and go to Psalm 3, above Psalm 3 it would say Book 1. Okay? Book 1. And the Psalms, they're divided up into five books, and I tried to break it down for you. Psalm 3 begins Book 1. So the first two are an introduction. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We have an introduction with the first two Psalms. Book 1, Book 2, Book 3, Book 4, Book 5, and then all the way 150 Psalms later, we have our conclusion with the last five Psalms. Now, I thought this was really interesting. Martin Luther, he has this quote where he calls the Psalms a little Bible because of how rich they are theologically. He believes that all the things we need to know about theology, all the things that God has to reveal to us about himself, about who we are, about his plan for redemption and restoration, all are within the book of Psalms. The Psalm is like a little Bible within the Bible. Now, we're going to spend 12 weeks in the Psalms. That means we're going to meditate on 12 different Psalms out of 150. And that's why, I mean, we're just dipping our toe into this vast, rich, beautiful book. And we're going to invite you to meditate with us, to ponder, to spend time in the Psalms over the next 12 weeks. And I'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the sermon, okay? And just one last thing about the structure for our next 12 weeks. We'll have one sermon from the intro. That's what we're doing today. And then there will be two sermons from each book. And then Pastor Matt will preach a sermon on the conclusion, all right? So that's kind of the overall plan for the next 12 weeks. We're going to try to stick to it. Now, I want to get right into Psalm 1. That's what we're going to be spending our time here today pondering. And I wanted to just reread the first three verses or so for you, okay? So here's what Psalm 1 says, just to refresh your memory. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Okay, now, right off the bat, I'm going to make two assumptions, okay, about you and about your experience reading those Psalms, okay? So I'm just going to make two big assumptions. I think two things probably happened to some of you, at least two things. The first thing is some of you were probably convicted a little bit reading that, and some of you are probably motivated and inspired reading that, or a combination of the both. And what do I mean by convicted? I would guess that some of us, whenever we read about this blessed man, this man who seems to be doing it all right, he's not walking in the way of sinners. He resists evil. And he's meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, 24/7. And all that he does prospers. I would imagine that some of us reading that were convicted, because if we compare ourselves to this man, we realize very quick, I don't look like that. I don't resist sin perfectly. I don't spend 24/7, day and night, meditating on and delighting in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. That's not me. So maybe you're feeling a little convicted, some of you. Maybe you're also feeling a little motivated because you want to be like that blessed man. You want to resist evil. You want to resist sin. You want to delight and meditate on God's word. You know that you should be in the word regularly, all the time. You want to be like the blessed man. You want to be like a tree planted by streams of water. You want all of your ways to prosper. Maybe you're feeling motivated. You're thinking, okay, I've been talking about doing this Bible study for a while, and you know what? As soon as I get home after church tonight, I'm finally going to set an alarm on my phone. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning before work, and I'm going to start that study. Right? You're feeling motivated. I want to be like that man who meditates on the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, day and night. I'm finally feeling motivated and inspired enough to have that conversation with my family that we need to have our nightly devotions again, right? Maybe you're feeling motivated to meditate on God's law day and night. And that's a beautiful thing. In fact, I would encourage you, go continue to meditate on God's law day and night. If you have that habit right now where you read the word every morning, read the word at night too. But if my whole sermon was simply to stand up here and tell you, hey, you need to be like the blessed man. And if you want to be the blessed man, go. Resist sin. Go. Every chance you get, spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time contemplating the goodness of God and in His creation and His love for you through Jesus. Go. Be the blessed man, and all of your ways will prosper. If that's all I had to say, then you guys would probably need to start looking for a new associate pastor, okay? Because those assumptions I made, that maybe some of you were convicted, maybe some of you were motivated, even if that's not your experience here today, right now, maybe you weren't convicted or motivated today. But I would bet all of you have been, maybe tens, dozens, hundreds of times throughout your life, you've encountered something in the scriptures that convicts you, that shows you your sin, that shows you you're not quite living the way God has called you to live. And that leads you to be motivated. It kind of lights a fire under you. It reminds you of the love that you have for Jesus, and you want to spend your life dedicated to Jesus. You want to spend your time in the Word. But the thing is, all of us, all of you who have experienced that, who have experienced getting this passion and this fire where I want to be like the blessed man, I want to meditate on God's law day and night. Eventually that fire kind of fizzles out. Or eventually, even though you have the alarm set in the morning, the schedule changes. Or something comes up in your family and you get out of rhythm. And before you know it, you go days without doing your daily devotion. Something like that. Here's what happened to me the other week. Some of you know I was back in Kansas City. Me and Ren and Isla went back to our hometown to see some family. And I was in my childhood home, the home I grew up in for most of my life, and I had this box of like old mementos, just random stuff in there. My high school transcript was in there. There was a box of love letters that Ren wrote me from high school in there, all that sort of stuff. And in there was this notebook, like a regular spiral notebook, and it had all sorts of random stuff in it. There were some of my class notes in it. But then there was a spot where I remember, while I was in college, thinking to myself, as I'm trying to take my faith more and more seriously, I remember thinking, I'm going to take notes and journal through the entire Gospel of Mark. And I had this I was really passionate about it. I kind of had this fire. Well, I really wanted to push myself, and everything that I thought of, write my thoughts on almost every single verse of Mark. Well, of course, I get to that spot in the notebook, and it took up one page, and I think I made it to verse 10, okay? So I had this fire. I had this passion. I had this goal. I was motivated, but who knows what came up? Eventually, it fizzled out. And I'm guessing all of you can relate to something like that. You're convicted. You're motivated. You want to be like the blessed man. You want to delight in the law of the Lord. You want to meditate on God's word. You want to learn more. You want to study. You want to pray more. All these things. And even if you keep grinding it out and you don't fall away from your habits and your schedule, eventually the fire and the passion kind of fizzles away. Can anybody relate to that? Is that just me? Eventually, we just have to simply come to terms with the fact that we are not the blessed man. We are not the blessed man. But that also leaves us in a really good position, too. Because the good news is that there is a man alive today who did, in fact, resist all evil and all sin. There is a man alive today who does delight in the law and in the will of God. There is a man alive today who lived out the law of God and fulfilled the law of God, submitted to the law of God, to the point where he died for you. There's a man alive today who is like that tree planted by streams, whose leaf does not wither, and all that he has done and will do prospers. Jesus is the blessed man of Psalm 1. And here's the cool thing. All of us, we can call ourselves blessed, because we belong to that blessed man, right? Because we've been chosen by that blessed man. Because we've been claimed, we've been redeemed, we've been sacrificed for by that blessed man. And now you and I, we will be able to stand in the day of judgment. We won't be driven away like chaff in the wind. Not because of how motivated we are and how on fire we are and how disciplined we are, but because there's a blessed man alive today who did all that for us. Amen? Amen. And this is the frame of mind that I want us to have as we dive into this book of the Psalms. Over the next 12 weeks, we're going to read Psalms, and they're going to have lots of instruction in them. There's going to be things that inspire us, things that motivate us, things that convict us, things that show us how we ought to live and who we ought to be. They're going to be words that should be on our lips, words that we can proclaim to God and we can use in our prayer life. But along the way, I want us to have this frame of mind that all of the Psalms, at the heart of all of them, they are showing us Jesus and preparing us to see Jesus. Now that we've cleared that up, and we know who the blessed man is, and we know that the psalm is about Jesus, now I'm going to go back a little bit. And I'm going to encourage you to go and meditate on the law of the Lord. To go and delight in His will. To form that habit. To set that alarm on your phone. To have that conversation with your family. To have those devotions. And to help you, I'll encourage you to just read the Psalms with us over the next 12 weeks. Here's what I'll suggest. Today we read Psalm 1, right? What if all of us, for the rest of this week, every day, we all read Psalm 1? Read it every day. Pray through it. Slow down and ponder it. Read Psalm 1 every day this week. And then next week, Pastor Matt's going to preach on Psalm 19. And then the rest of that week, read Psalm 19. And pray through it and ponder it. Whether we are lit on fire and passionate, whether we're really motivated or not, we have a God who calls us to spend time getting to know Him in His Word, who wants us to know that He is the one who delights in His will, who lived out His law perfectly, who fulfilled it perfectly for you and for your sake. So, I want to give you a few minutes to think about how is God speaking to you right now? Is He stirring something? Is He changing or shifting something in your heart? Let's take a moment to reflect on the things spoken today. If you want to write them down, you can do that. If you want to turn to your neighbor and share those thoughts with them, we'll take a moment pondering the word of the Lord.